Welcome to an enlightening podcast from IslamPodcasts.com. We encourage our listeners to please comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please remind your family and friends to also visit IslamPodcasts.com for engaging discussions on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran, tafsir, seerah, and much more. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com as well as rate, review of iTunes.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين أفضل الصلوات والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء سيدنا حبيبنا شفيعنا قرة أعيننا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحابته ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Just before I start, actually, I just if people want to huddle up a bit, just sorry, my old brother. It's cool. It's a halakha, it's a circle. What I want to actually just say before I actually talk, the talk's not going to be very long. So all I want really is your attention, about 10, maximum 15 minutes, no more than that. So relax, be still, let your hearts open, inshallah. Maybe something, maybe a change can happen today. Brothers hold this circle, as you look, probably know, every week, every other week, and so on. But I don't want anyone to feel as though they have to come to a circle because, like, they cringe, like, man, the brother caught me back of the eye, then I have to go now. Never think like this when you have to come to a talk or anything about Islam. You want to come here because you feel you have to come. You have to come along because you know that you believe in Allah, and this is what He wants you to do, to come and learn about Islam. Never feel you have to be dragged or, pushed to come to a talk or whatever. Make sure, you do it because you want to do it, and then you know it's the right reason that you're doing it. Because, Allah wants you to do it. That's what you've got to remember. That's the important thing. So never duck your head down, prod in. Oh man, we'll come to talk for half an hour only as well, Not even long talk either, 15 minutes. You see? So this is why I want you to look to relax, lower the shoulders, just listen. Because this topic's a bit important. And I'll tell you why. The topic really, it is about hellfire, but it's about consequences, results. When we do something else will happen, a result that happens. Now, it's quite interesting. I was just reading our journal. I'm from Camden, the area of Camden. So it's way down northwest London, so you might know that area, I was just reading our Camden journal just about 5 days ago. There's a kid in there. Maybe some of you even know him. John Mendy, his name is. He's in my little brother's class. It's quite some time ago. I went to a school called Haverstock in a London school. Ain't a very good school. But Joe, he's probably a little... I'd say a right devil boy. He did a bit of scams here and there and stuff. He went on holiday with some of his mates. They went to Canary Islands, some island here in Spain, What happened is they used counterfeit money to buy stuff over there. They got it from some dodgy Scottish geezer, and they started buying stuff, going around whatever places, and stuff, and enjoying themselves. Now, after he'd come back, he was about 17, 18 then, My man John, he come back 17, and then he realised, no, this is wrong, I don't want to live a life of crime, scamming, fraud, all of that stuff. He left it all. My man went to college, he studied, got a part-time job. He's now 22, 6 university offers to go university to study psychology and criminology. He's studying criminology as well. He used to do crime, so it's a bit ironic. But so he wants to study criminology stuff. Next minute he knows, he's revising for his exams to go in uni. The old feds knock on his door, rush in, arrest him, hold him up for 50 hours, only gave him one glass of water and a roll of bread. For what? Because of the scam he did 4 years ago. It's caught up with him now. And this is in the Camden Journal. I'll pass it around later. You lot can have a read of it. What he did 4 years ago, he's on amend now. He ain't doing nothing like crime and that anymore. He wants to go uni, he wants to get a job, he wants to do it the right way. But what he did 4 years ago, caught up with him today. Now he's going to get extradited. That's just a posh word of saying they're going to take him to Spain. And they're going to put him in prison. No questions asked. They're going to put him in prison, even if he did it 4 years ago. And now the MPs in Camden, everyone trying to get involved, telling the Spanish government, don't arrest him, don't put him in prison. He's got a life ahead of him. But it's consequences. It's actions you do, yeah? They'll catch up with you. They'll catch up with you. And SubhanAllah, it was just something I thought of when I was reading the Camden Journal and I was on my way. And I thought, we're going to talk about hellfire. Now, I don't like talking about hellfire. I really don't. I don't want to talk about it. But I want to mention little bits of it, or bits of verses about hellfire right at the end. Just to show you how Allah describes hellfire. That really shouldn't be a place where you want to go. Now, one of the reasons is that we need to understand consequences and what our actions mean. Yeah? When we do an action, we have to know that it has certain effects. This is what consequence means. Yeah, so, you know, if you get into a fight, the consequences are in school, you're going to get detention, you might even get suspended, even excluded these days. Send a letter home, chuck you out of school. So consequences are like a certain effect there that you do, yeah? And so, in Islam, we take this notion very seriously. But I don't want to give you any rational arguments just to say, yeah, intellectually, you know, what is the concept of consequence and why we need it and stuff. I just want to put it simple. It's like this. All of you here in this room, intuitively, meaning naturally, you feel you need consequences, you need results. So anyone who does something good, you think they should be rewarded. It's natural to feel that. Anyone who does something bad, you think he should be rewarded, he should be punished for it. Maybe not severely, depending on the action he did. But you will have a natural feeling for that. You will have a natural feeling that something needs to be done if someone does something bad. It's quite simple. You don't need to think about it intellectually like a philosopher sitting in your armchair. Yeah, and think about it. Yeah. No, you don't need to do that. Because if I come down this area, for example, down this manors, and then some geezer come in, disrespect one of you, like, you think we're all going to sit there and let it happen? There's consequences. If he comes in, messes with a brother for no reason, people are going to help you, aren't they? They're going to join in. They're going to try and help you, support you. Maybe it might even come to a bit of stuff that goes on, isn't it? It happens. It's natural. But there's consequences. You've got to know that if I come into your house and start disrespecting your parents, are you going to allow it? Or are you going to say, oh, yeah, you know, it don't matter. There's no consequences. Yeah, you can do what you want. Come in and disrespect my parents. No, there's consequences. And we naturally feel it towards that. So if we human beings feel that if someone does something bad, whether to our family or something we hold really precious, if we feel they need to be punished, what do you think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah who created the heavens and the earth. The Lord, the maker of the heavens and the earth, He made us, put us on this earth. Do you think He put us on this earth to do whatever the hell we want to do? Without there being consequences? And the problem is, yeah, we forget that. When it comes to our own selves, yeah, we think, no, I want something to happen. No, that's wrong. I want something to happen. When it comes to ourselves, yeah, anyone disrespects us, hurts us, cusses us, whatever, we want to do something about it. But why is it when it comes to Allah, we forget it? This is the point. This is the essential point. Why is it that, oh, forget Allah, who cares about Him? He made us, so what? But then Allah says, but, you know, when something bad happens to you, you start worrying. You want something to be done. But when it comes to Him, forget that. I'm not going to die yet. You know what I mean? When I'm old, got my stick, maybe, you know, got some grandchildren, maybe I'll start thinking about that. But this is it, you see. The problem is we don't think about the consequences, because the consequences are massive. The consequences are either it's hell or it's heaven. This is what's going to happen, yani. When we die, either we're going to go hell or we're going to go heaven. So the question is, do you want to go hell or do you want to go home? That's the question. And this is what should be in front of our minds all the time. And one way in Islam that Muslims have tried to sort of think about these big consequences, yeah, is in the past they used to think about death. Death. You know, something that the Muslims used to always think is like a shadow next to them. It could come at any time. Because the Quran says, isn't it? You lot might know the verse, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Everything, every nafs, every person, anything that lives will taste death. And the Arabic word, quite funny, ذائق, which means actually to taste something. Literally, you'll taste it. You'll feel it. And this thing, you know, doing this talk puts my mind in perspective, because I lost two of my dad's sisters, my aunties, in the space of a month this year. My whole family are like rattled. 1 minute, my father, she was alright, my auntie, she was alright. 2 weeks later, she's in hospital and the doctor says, sorry mate, you know, she's got cancer. Can't do anything. And it hits you like that. And the Quran always mentions that. You think hell, you think death is far, but it's never far, it's always near. That's why the Prophet used to always say, أَكْثَرُ ذِكْرَ هَلِكِ اللَّذَّاتِ. Always remember Allah, that thing which destroys all your pleasures. That thing that was going to destroy all your good times is death. Because when you die, halas, that is it. You're going to be waiting, and obviously from the grave, and then after that, obviously Allah decides with His mercy, whether we're going to tilt into heaven, or He's going to drag us into hell. There's only two outcomes, really, if you think about it. And that's the consequences. That's why we need to think about it. Because this society is not going to remind us about death. They're reminding you about the dunya, the world. You've got to do that. You've got to, you know, have a great time. Death, don't think about death. That's not near. That's not something you have to worry about. Yeah, it's going to happen, but it's not something serious. But for us, it's serious. Because our actions, everything we do, yeah, Allah sees it. The two angels here, they're writing it down. Our parents may have told us, or in Miyasa told us here in the mosque, wherever at home, you know, that these angels are writing down everything. We might not see them, but they're gonna be, all these things that are right down, they're gonna show us. When we die, they're gonna show us and say, Allah, listen to what he did. He's saying he's lying now, yeah, don't listen to this is what he did, look, I've got it. 2nd of June 2007, this is what he did. And writing it down. And we'll be lying out of our teeth, even if we have any teeth by then. We're lying. That's why in the Quran you might have heard the surah, it says, فَمَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينَهُ فَمَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينَهُ. Whoever scales, yeah? Basically scales of deeds. مَوَازِينَهُ, he scales means like the sort of balancer. Our actions will be put on a scale. Whoever scale is light, he's going to be dragged into the fire. He's going to be shown it and dragged into the fire. But whoever scale is heavy, whosoever scale is heavy with good deeds, Allah's going to say, yeah, put him in heaven. Because he listened to what I said. He knew that there's consequences. Just as in the world there's consequences, he knew there's consequences. He did his good stuff that he's supposed to do. Listen to what I said and what my prophet said. Take him into heaven. وَمَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُمُّهُ حَاوِيَةٌ. That's the Arabic. Whosoever scale is light. خَفَّتْ فَأُمُّهُ حَاوِيَةٌ. His place is going to be that burning, blazing fire. Blazing fire like sun times, God, there's a million. So that sun's bright, just by looking at it in the clouds, think about a blazing fire, the light given out in that fire. So the consequences is a matter of life and death. And really, I was going to, in this talk, I was going to get loads of hadith about hell and loads of ayat about hell and how it, what kind of place it is. But it just terrified me because I don't want, the more you think about it, yeah, it shakes you up. Sometimes we need that. We need a shake up. Sometimes Allah says, yeah, you need a shake up. Because I tell you nicely, you don't listen. I tell you nicely again, there's consequences, but you don't listen. Then Allah says, all right. If I have to shoot the point like a bullet, then I need to do it. Because some people need to be told straight. And do we want to be one of those people where Allah is like, we read the Quran and we feel like Allah's shouting at us, don't you get it? What's going to happen when you die? You're going to deny it now, but when you die, what's going to happen then? Just because this dunya you thought, yeah, I can do what the hell I want. And most people now, they act, you know, however they want. Not even animals act the way they want. You think a zebra can just walk into a pack of lions? Yeah. I'll just have some grass here, yeah? Because nothing's going to happen. Even zebras know, yeah? Even animals know instinctively they shouldn't go somewhere, they shouldn't do something. Because it's going to danger them. There's consequences. And you might see it in a wildlife show, whatever animal planet, whatever it is, on the National Geographic. But you see it. They carefully go around and the lion's waiting and stuff because they're not going to get eaten. Us, the same thing. Why is it that we don't think about these things? It's a simple question. No one can force me to think about it. Yeah, my parents might shout at me, nag at me, natter, yada, 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 yada. But unless I start myself wanting to think about it, it's going to be no use. No point brothers dragging you to talks if you don't purposely, intentionally think about it. That's the important thing. You've got to want to think about it. And this is what Allah wants as well. He wants you to think about the consequences. So you know, and you do it, because not because Allah forced you, because Allah didn't force anyone to do anything. But you know that you did something because you knowingly did it. So it's not like you, you know, go and do your homework. My mum is shouting at me. She says, you won't give me food if I don't do it. It's not that. You did it because you're supposed to do it. Subject, blah, blah, blah. And that's the important thing. But what I will do in the talk then to close it up is give some descriptions in the Quran that Allah gives about hell. Boy, there are so many verses. And I was scanning through, I thought, you know, you're going to get me to talk about hell for like 20 minutes. There's so many ahadith on it, so many. Pick up any book of hadith, you see a section on hell and heaven. Heaven bit's nice, yeah, but the hell bit is dangerous. And it scares you, it scares the hell out of you. Pictures, the Sahaba, the Prophet's companions, describing how people can be dragged on their bellies by their tongues. And it goes more and more deeper. You think these, you know, these films and gory cartoons, yeah, tell you what's bad. The descriptions in there will just make you close the book and say, no, I don't want to know about it. And the reason is because it's to get you thinking. Actually, you know what? We all have a natural thing to think about the here and now. What affects me right now. We don't have this notion about what's going to affect me afterwards. What if I die tomorrow? Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّ الْمَوْتَ الَّذِي يَفَرُّونَ مِنْهُ, that death which you think you can run away from, فَإِنَّهُ مُلَاقِيكُمْ, it'll catch up with you and it'll grab you. You think you're running away from it. Yeah, I'm 15, I'm 16, I'm 17, I'm 20, I'm 30, death hasn't caught up with me yet. Boom, it'll catch up with you at any point. You don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. No one knows. All we can do is be musta'idun, people who are prepared for it. That's all. We can only prepare our best. We don't know when death is just going to grab us and then take us. The question is, are we prepared? Do we want to go hell or do we want to go home? That's the question. And that's the way we should see it. Now, some of the verses I chose, yeah, are quite deep. So I'm just going to sort of try and explain some of them very, very briefly. Yeah? In one surah, Allah says, "Sawfa nuslihum naran," and then we'll drag him in the fire. We'll chuck him in the fire. We'll get them, we'll chuck them in the fire. كُلَّمَا نَجِدَتْ جُلُودَهُمْ, every time their skin roasts. Every time their skin burns. And we're talking about a 90 degree pizza oven here. We're talking about fire, which is like, if a drop of it, a pinhead from the fire of hell landed on this earth here, it will burn everything in it. We're talking about a pin drop. So كُلَّمَا نَجِدَتْ جُلُودَهُمْ, every time their skin roasts and burns and toasts, بَدَّلْنَا جُلُودَ غَيْرَهَا, will give you a new fresh skin to burn and to roast. Meaning it will be non-stop. Allah will get that, this lovely skin we got, put a bit of fire on it, you see it burns, it burns. Imagine all of that burning till it just literally bubbles and melts away. And then Allah says, put a fresh skin on him. Now burn it again. Put a fresh skin on him after that. Burn again. And it'll keep doing that until Allah desires to stop it. He might not want to. وَبَدَّلْنَا جُلُودًا غَيْرَهَا, we'll replace it, we'll keep replacing it with new skin. And it'll burn and burn. This is the image Allah wants us to keep us in our mind. And then Allah says, يَذُوقُ الْعَذَابِ, يَذُوقُ الْعَذَابِ, so he tastes the punishment. Literally to taste it. لِيَذُوقُ الْعَذَابِ. So when you feel it burning, when you shout out, you know, when you have a little burn, whatever, Chinese burn, whatever, yeah? You shout out, the agony, means you felt it. This is what it means by tasting it. It literally goes to your very core and it chills you. This is the message Allah wants to put across. Your skin is going to be roasted, then it's going to give new skin, it's going to be roasted again. Another ayah. سَرَابِيلُهُم مِّن قِطْرَانِ, they're going to be given what they call like the kurta, they call it. I can't remember what they call it in English. It's like a shirt, it's got a couple of buttons there, but it goes long. A bit like the Punjabi thing, yeah? We're going to give you one of that made out of fire. We can give you one of those, make you wear one of those made out of fire. This ain't no human torch, man. This man's going to burn wearing this. His skin's just going to roast in it. And I'll put you another one on you. Yeah, give him another one. And he'll keep giving you one to wear over and over and over again. To reinforce us, to reinforce in our minds that it's about fire, it's about burning. That's the consequence. And we'll just put his face, the sensitive part of our body, wash it in fire. Grab their faces and wash it in fire. Me and seeing in the toilet, a man's head get taken, put in the toilet and flush. Imagine like that with fire. Our faces are taken and just shoved in front of fire, gushing forward. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. No one can change what Allah puts there. No one's going to change it. But the question is, do you want to go hell or do you want to go home? Do you want to get prepared? Or do you want to be one of those people who are going to be chucked in the fire? Another verse. Then it says, وَمِنْ وَرَائِهِ جَهَنَّمْ. Then Jahannam will be shown in front of him. وَمِنْ وَرَائِهِ جَهَنَّمْ. So then we'll be taken and be dragged in chains. Yeah? Jahannam, will you see it before him? Like you've seen that little wall there before you. And then he says, وَيُسْقَى مِنْ مَاءٍ صَدِيدٍ. Then we'll pour down boiling putrid water down his mouth. We'll show him Jahannam. His mouth will be wrenched open. Boiling pitch water will be poured down him. And then Allah carries on. يَتَجَرَّعُهُ. He'll gulp it. He'll gulp the water. It'll come, but only come up to here. He won't swallow it. He'll gulp it, but it won't swallow. It means it's gurgling out. It's coming out of his mouth. Pouring more, coming out of his mouth. يَتَجَرَّعُ وَلَا يَكَادُ يُسِيغُهُ. We'll never be able to swallow it. It's drowning there, boiling pitch water's coming in, he's gurgling it out, the water's coming in, he's gurgling it out. And this ain't boiling water like from the kettle. Throat, face, skin, get the picture, it's all sensitive parts of the body, I was trying to mention them. Just gurgle, just stay there, boiling water. Then Allah says, فَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. For those who denied Allah, who just forgot about Allah, denied Him. Who cares about God? قُطِعَتْ لَهُمْ ثِيَابٌ مِنْ نَارٍ. We'll give him a cloak made out of fire. Wrap him around that, see if that keeps him warm. And then it says, يَصُبُّ مِنْ فَوْقِ رُؤْسِهِمْ. رُؤْسِهِمْ. Allah will pour from the back, on the top of their heads. Al-Jaheem, which is like, Al-Jaheem is like just unimaginable, painful, scalding water. And you know when sometimes when something burns you, your skin goes red. They call it a scald, like whatever, first degree burn or whatever, second degree. Imagine third degree burns from just water being poured on your head. يَصُبُّ مِنْ فَوْقِ رُؤُوسِهِمْ Al-Jaheem. يُسَرُ بِهِ مَا فِي بُطُونِهِمْ وَالْجُلُودُ. So everything in their stomachs, it will just burn. Basically the acid, the heat that's been poured on him, heat will make his stomach burst. And everything in it will just burst open. Due to the intense heat, your stomach's going to burst. Someone's going to burst. And it goes on and on and on and on. Then Allah says, وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فَسَقُوا. But as for those who didn't deny Allah, they did bad. They did wicked. They did bad deeds. فَسَقُوا. فَمَأْوَاهُمُ النَّارِ. Their place is in the fire. That's where they belong. This is where they should stay. This is what Allah says. ذُوكُوا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Let them taste that fire that we've just been describing, that punishment. Let them taste it. Because that's what they deserve. Let them taste it. Then it says, for those people who denied the hellfire, this is their punishment. In Surah Rahman, Allah says the same thing. هَذِهِ جَهَنَّمُ الَّتِي تُكَذِّبُ بِهَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ. The sinners, these are the sinners who denied this hellfire. Yeah, it don't exist. Blah, blah, blah. But when they died, their bellies are burning. The skins are being constantly roasted. Hot, not hot water, boiling water, I can't even describe it. Bubbling, boiling water. Pouring on top of the heads. And this is true, yeah, and it's part of our belief. We deny it, we're not Muslims. And this is what's going to happen. But brothers, the question is, do you want to go to hell or do you want to go home? The choice is ours. The choice is ours. Allah's given us that choice. I can't make that choice for you. I can't drag you. No one can. Your parents can't. Even though our parents have been telling us when we're young. Hey, for us now, why don't you read, go to Quran, go to Huzur's class and so on and so on. Learn about Islam. They don't want to never force us, but they want us to think about it. I bet you any one of you, yeah, go to your mum, ask them about hell. They can tell you everything about it because they learnt the same thing. Hellfire is like that. Jahannam is like that. Heaven is like this. Because they learnt these things. Because they have to learn it. Because they know this is what's going to... The more they think about death, the more they're going to control themselves when they behave. Because they know they can't do anything they like. Just as like no one can come in here and do what they like. Disrespect you, disrespect your family. Because there's consequences. People will do stuff. Same as us. If we disobey Allah, Allah's going to do stuff to us. He tells us. It's only fair. He does it because he's just. So the question is, brothers, do you want to go to hell or do you want to go home? That's the question. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر لي ولوالدكم ولسائر المسلمين
له. It was a lot to think about. I'm going to leave it up to you guys. If you guys want to ask any questions, anything in your mind, anything you want to ask, or comments.
That's okay. At a young age to actually think about the issues like the race, because you're too busy thinking about whether you think about football or what's happening in your area or the streets. Yeah. Basically, busy yourself with this. What can you do to actually think about your race?
Yeah, you're right, actually. You know that. We have got loads of distractions. We've got to remember that the society around us, I'm not saying we don't live in this society, this is our community, yeah. It's not anyone else's community. Actually, I'm from Camden. It's your community, yeah. Yeah? You live here. You want good things to happen here. You want the best for this community. Because you live here. It's your community. Your people are here, your jobs, your work, your school. But the problem is you have to remember the wider society, because it's not a religious society, doesn't think about God and, you know, religion and stuff like that. It's not worried about what's going to happen when you die or what's morally good and what's morally bad. They're just worried about, like, the dunya, distractions for you to do stuff. You know, that's not related to religion or thinking about Allah. Now, I'm not saying, you know, you can't play football or you can't do sports, you can't enjoy yourself. You have to, as Muslim, you're allowed to enjoy yourself. But, with that enjoyment, we have a duty that we've got to remember. Allah could take that enjoyment any time. This is what I said earlier in the hadith. The Prophet says, remember that thing, which is the halikul ladad, that which destroys all your good pleasures, the things that are important to you, things that you like, whatever that could be, whatever it is, whether it's spouse, whether it's your parents, whether it's food, whatever, in a sports, death can destroy at any time. And so it's our duty that we think about that, just so we're prepared. So it keeps us in a check and balance. But you're right, society out there, it's difficult. It's telling us to go one way, but we're told to go another way. And this is where it becomes especially difficult. And that's why it's important. Whoever you are, I don't care how big of a man you are, you can't do it by yourself. Sometimes, you know, you need to be in a collective group of people. I know the brothers, they do circles every week and other places as well, yeah? Be around people like that who they can help you, you know, strengthen you. Because it's difficult by yourself. There'll be times when you may have to do it by yourself where, I shouldn't be going there, man. I shouldn't be going there. It's difficult when you're battling with your conscience or your mind. Your mind's telling you, or Shaitan's waswasa telling you go here, and you're like, oh, man, but I know there's consequences if I go there. And the angels are writing stuff down. Keeping that in front of our minds. It's difficult, but it becomes a bit easier if you're with people. Other people who are thinking about these same things. I'm not saying to duck your head down, yeah, like, you know, walking to a lamppost. No one's saying that. You've got to keep your wits about you. You can enjoy yourself, of course, because Allah said, but you've got to put your priorities in focus. That's what it is. You've got to put your priority in focus. Because as soon as we forget about death, Shaitan's won it. He's won the game. He goes, yeah, you're in my place now. You forget about death. You see, people forget about death, they do what they want in this life, thinking that there's no consequences. And this is what I'm saying, you know, that's one way you can sort of help think about it. Stay with people who are thinking about these things as well. We're thinking about this big consequence that's going to happen when we die. But it's doing it all together, you feel much stronger. At the end of the day, we're all brothers, you know, we don't hate each other, man. We roll as one ummah, do you know what I mean? And we should never feel that just because some brothers are doing da'wah, some people aren't yet, that, you know, they're somehow better and they're judging me and, you know, they think they're so great. It's not about hating. It's not about that. It's about advice. You know, this stuff scares me, and I want to tell my brothers about it as well. You know, there's some serious big things going on. You know, it's all that. What might be one thing you can try and do? Sit with like-minded people who are thinking about these things, who are advising other people. Do you know about this? This is serious hellfire. But on the other side as well, talk about Jannah as well, paradise. What are the rewards? There's a whole surah called Surah Al-Rahman that's devoted to that. You read it, it'll put you on a high. But remember that the flip side is that there's hell as well, man. And only by Allah's mercy, if he accepts our actions, only by his mercy will we put into Jannah with him. You know, we have to remember that Jahannam, all these things are trying to tell us that, do you want to be in a place like this? This is what it's trying to say. Do you want to be in a place like that? Away from Allah. This is what it is. Ain't no Allah here in your hell. It's all about being distant from Allah. We don't want to be. We want to be close to Allah. We want to be in paradise with Him, inshaAllah. But this is what I would say. It's difficult by yourself. But try and sit with people who perhaps can help you. And collectively, you know, we can grow strong. It's easier when you do things together. You know, Malcolm X used to always say that. You know, one, you can't get effect, yeah, with just like one finger. Imagine you push one finger on someone. Imagine you make the finger into a fist. Some damage now, isn't it? Shaitan will get some damage if we do it all, sit all together. That's why, yeah, there are times, like I said, we've got to do it by ourselves, but if we can, we do it together, because we roll together as one ummah. We want to do this, and we won't want Shaitan to be out of our lives. That's what I would say. But more advice, inshallah, we can talk about, you know, more. There's lots and lots of stuff we can do, but that's one thing to start off with that's easy. No one's telling you you've got to put on your jubba and sit in your room to be all day. You don't have to do that. Sit together, jama'ah, we roll together, and it's much better that way, much stronger. That's why Shaitan gets a drubbing.
Any other questions? Comments? I had a question. I was going to ask you, you know, a lot of us, obviously, you know, are trying to escape the place and we want to avoid it. But the thing is the people that we hang around with, or the kind of people that are in our areas or in our schools or whatever, they're kind of completely in a different place. They're being a complete opposite to that. I mean, what kind of actions would you have to do to avoid hellfire? What kind of actions should you be taking part in?
I mean, with respect to people who you probably think, maybe even your friends, relatives, who are doing stuff, and you're thinking, whoa, and is he or she thinking about what's going to happen? You think about the akhirah, the afterlife. You know, the best thing to do, obviously, you advise them. But my question is, how can you advise someone if you don't know, anything about it? So now that you come to this talk here, alhamdulillah, yeah, you know something about health, you can tell people that, you know what, you know, this is, we've got to think about consequences, yeah? Something bad will happen when we die. Think about it. I didn't sit here and give you, you know, this big, you know, argument, rational argument, intellectual argument. I know deep inside, all of you here, deep inside, all of you, you know that if something, someone does something bad, you want them to be brought to task, you want them to be sort of punished for their action. Someone does good, you want them to be rewarded. All you lot deep down feel that. And Allah, the same thing. He made us, he wants us to do good things. And then he knows, tells us there's consequences about it. We get rewarded if we do good things. But with respect to school and people, stuff like that, I'm not saying now you tell your mate, yeah, get out of there. I saw one talk, yeah, you ain't my friend anymore, because you don't think about hell. No. That's not the way to go about it, yeah? Obviously, they see your mates, we advise them. Maybe bring them to the talk. You came to the talk. I hope no one forced to come to the talk. You walked in through these doors, yeah, with your own 2 feet, shuffled in, you sat down, you listened. And this is what it's about. It's not a lecture. I'm not sitting here lecturing you, telling you about A, B, C, D. It's just some advice that I heard. I'm passing it on that I think is important. And the same thing, that inshallah, when you learn more and more, and you are learning more and more, you pass the same message on to your friends, and slowly by slowly. Because remember, we were all at that stage as well, when some other brother or someone, one of our relatives was telling us, do you know about consequences and hellfire? Do you know that when you do this, this is what's going to happen? We were in that position as well, weren't it, at some point. So have mercy for our brothers as well. We've got to think about them. But do it gently, you know what I mean? They're still your brothers, still your friends. But to avoid that company, they're trying to take you somewhere and say, no, look, I can't. That's what I'm saying, it's difficult if you're by yourself, but if you're in a group of people, together, collectively, it becomes a bit easier. That kind of mentality where, I've drank alcohol, I've done all the sins you can think of, I've done them. But what's the point of me turning out? I think that's an excuse, more than anything. I think it's an excuse. One, he's still Muslim. You've got to remember that, yeah? So no one can tell him he's not Muslim. He's still a Muslim. Which means that, there's a chance, he can still... Why? The fact that death hasn't taken him yet is a good thing. It's still, meaning his arms and legs are still working. He can do some change, have some change, make some change in himself, and get started. He should never think that just because he's done sin, Allah's going to chuck him in hellfire. Allah's not like that. He's not like that. He's not this grumpy creator, He says, oh, man, you did a bit of sin, go on, mate, chuck him in the fire. He's not like that. Allah's not like that. His mercy is more powerful than any of his attributes. His mercy is the one, because Allah Rahman Rahim, Allah always says, my mercy, come to my mercy. That's why it hurts Allah, that when people turn away from him, it hurts him. Because he only wants good for his servants. He only wants good for us. He doesn't want bad for us. He doesn't want to chuck us in the hellfire. That's why he gives us so many opportunities. Even if we think we've sinned, and the sins are as big as a mountain, the Prophet said. Allah says in the hadith, Qudsi, that even if our sins are as big as a mountain, Allah will still forgive us. So it means there's no excuse. Allah's telling us, you still got chance. Because my mercy is so powerful, and I'd like to show you how I'm the merciful creator. So those people who say, it's too late, no. This mentality, chuck it. For that, that's an excuse. For that reason, Allah may chuck him in hellfire for that excuse. But you can't say, oh, I've got no chance. You can't say that. Because Allah is the most merciful. Allah can do what He wants. And He always tells us His mercy is over and above everything else. So they can fix up quick. Either they can fix up and get fried up, man, in hell. For me, my choice is I want to fix up. I don't want to chance it. Even if they've done so many sins, it don't matter. For Allah, it don't matter. Turn to Allah, He'll turn to you. Simple, man. That's just an excuse mentality, I think. More deeper than that. Yeah. Definitely food. You're right. Lust is probably the most, in this society, lust is probably the most, I would say, the most prominent desire. The one you can see, it's evident, it's visible. Because on the telly, on posters, anywhere you go, you know what I mean? It's just some whatever naked woman selling a piece of bread or a car, television, every advert you turn over. It's always agitating that part of us. Yeah? Definitely, like I said, there's lots and lots of things that can be done. Educating ourselves about the deen. So how Islam tells us to control it. One way, as you said, through fasting. Through voluntary fast. To sit with people who are always going to remind you of good things. And so you don't think about the bad things. Occupying yourself with studying about Islam rather than wasting time. Lots of people end up, just swaying to their nest, to their lust, because they've got too much time in their hands not doing nothing. If you preoccupy yourself with good, Allah will reward you But if you busy yourself not doing good, then you're going to be busying yourself with doing bad. So it's time management as well. So if you've got 12 hours, you're just sitting there and you're walking around the streets, whatever. Yeah, of course, you'll get exposed more to doing something bad. Whereas if you book your timetable and say, yeah, you know what, this evening I'm going to come to someone, help out the brothers here, I'm going to go to the mosque there, I'm going to sit with my family, you know, talk to my parents, see how they're doing, get their blessing. Lots and lots of things you can do. But Allah's given us chances where we can get reward. But definitely that the lust is the most difficult one, because everywhere where we look, we're told to, you know, agitate that lust, that itch, that lust. And Islam's telling us the opposite. This is why, you know, when we're by ourselves, it's difficult. But when we're with group collectively, it gets a bit easier. And this is what I would say. Role with people who, you know, who's got a like-minded. They want to know about Islam. They want to learn about Islam. They're worried about their society. I don't have to tell you lot. Every borough in London, yeah, it's got crime problems, prostitution, young drugs, all because these people cave into this desire that no consequence, I can do what I want. You know, and that's not healthy.
Ahmed.
Yeah.
How would you justify something to touch someone like you said, someone touch pray from
I'm safe, yeah, because you know what? Yeah, I invite some others to talk, I've done it, I'm alright now. It's not, it's a continual, ongoing process. Always, you're always going to get challenges coming to you, all the time. And then all these challenges you have to push back. And that's a constant struggle. And that's why you need to be in it, you need to be in the atmosphere, you need to be breathing the air constantly. Because if you breathe the air that's out there, all the corruption that's going to go into your lungs. We want to replace that with the fresh air of Islam. This is what we want, but we need to constantly be doing that, engaged in it. You're right, we can't justify it for ourselves. Oh, well, I've done that. I'm not pure like an angel. We get all these reasons to justify it to ourselves. And in fact, they're not reasons at all. It's what Allah says in the Quran. I don't take people to hell. People take themselves to hell. I don't pick up and drag anyone and put them in hell. I just told them, you know what? You don't have to do very, very many things. Just generally be a good person and follow the laws that I sent, an example of my prophet. That's all. But you don't want to do that. You make up reasons. You blame me after that. And you expect me not to punish you. So we're being unjust to Allah. Allah always said, I don't chuck people in hellfire. People take themselves to hellfire. Because they want to justify away, give reasons, explain away. Blame Allah, blame this and blame that. At the end of the day, what did I do, Yani? Did I try and improve my own situation? Did I try and make that effort and step forward to Allah? Did I make that step? This is what it is. Did I make that step? Or was I just going, oh, I'm not going to do it. Allah didn't show me light from the heavens, yeah? That's what Allah's right. He don't put us in hell. People take themselves to hell. God's truth, that's it. And the question is now, as I said before, do you want to go to hell or do you want to go home? That is the question. The choice is ours, man. The choice is ours.
Okay. How about the nozzle? Is there anyone else who's got any other questions or comments? Right, nozzle. No,
I just wanted to touch the pressure is really good, but you think that you're too bad to do anything good. Fact of the matter is, whether you go to Jannah or Jahannam, it's to do with Allah's mercy. That's what it comes down to. It's to do with Allah's mercy. And there's numerous stories of where Master Muhammad, he said the garden was made, how he was destroyed because he drank his coffee, no something. Didn't do anything around the people around him. There's another story about a guy who killed 99 persons. He killed one more person, maybe 100, and he thought, well, I'm going to Jahannam, so be it. But before he died, he had himself burnt and he had his ashes spread out of the dunya, so he thought Allah can't gather him again. On Akhirah, he said that Allah will gather him, and he would ask him, why did you do that? He goes, to Allah, the faith that you're going to do to me for the fact that I killed 100 people. Because of the fact that he had taqwa, he feared Allah to the extent where he burnt himself, had his ashes scattered over the world, he goes to Jahannam. There's numerous stories like this to show that whether you go to Jahannam or Jahannam, isn't, yes, your action, as the brother said, the scales, all of these things count, but at the same time, you have to believe in Allah's mercy. So it doesn't matter how bad you are. Umar bin Khattab married his, well, not married, buried his daughter. We name our children after. Has anybody buried any of their children recently? No. So how can you then think you're that bad where you're beyond Allah's mercy or you're beyond Allah's love or you're beyond Allah's power to grant you that and to lead you into something and to protect you from Jahannam?
Okay, on that note, we're going to draw the circle to a close. There's just a few announcements. The circle is going to be at this time every week and if we haven't got your details, well, I don't know, texting you, calling you about the topic and so on, just pass it on to one of the guys who run it. Secondly, I think Maghrib Jamaat is at 9:20 at Leeds Mosque. All right. So, hang about for about half an hour and then go there, inshallah.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and Sirah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com.